Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of John. We've just started on the our study. I'd like to go through this book, John chapter 1. Let's read verses 6 to 9, and then we'll have a word of prayer. There was a man sent from John whose name, I'm sorry, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Let's pray together. Our Father, how good it is to be able to approach you and to know that our approach is only in the Lord Jesus Christ. That, Lord, that we believe this morning is by your grace, by faith that is from above. We ask you to help us to worship, help us to hear, help us, Lord, to truly see and comfort our hearts. Teach us, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. Last week we considered the deity, the eternality, the power, the life of the Word of God. Whenever God speaks, it is Christ Himself speaking. No matter the means, when I say that, I mean this. I stand this morning as a preacher. But Paul says we beseech you in Christ's stead. His voice, His word. It's the Word Himself, the Word of Almighty God. Now this morning, we want to begin as we look at the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know how there's scriptures that you're going to read. And when you read them concerning Christ, I mean, it's going to be at times when you read that and you say, that's His deity. That's setting forth the deity of Christ. Then you'll read one and that's the humanity of Christ. And there, only as you realize God-man, deity, perfect manhood, we're going to look at the manhood and the announcement of He who is God Himself, made flesh. We'll look at that made flesh, Lord willing, next time. But Almighty God, under the inspiration by His blessed Holy Spirit, penned these words through John. And he says in verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. I want you to turn back to Luke chapter 1. Luke 1. Luke 1, and beginning in verse 5, this is what the Scripture says. Luke 1, 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren. and they both were now well stricken in years, it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of the incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." Now look at verse 57 of that same chapter, Luke 1. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy unto her, upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias, after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, "Not so, but he shall be called John." And they said unto her, "There's none of thy kindred that is called by this name." And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, "His name is John." And they marveled all. Now, the first thing I notice about this one, John the Baptist, in naming him John, obedience. Obedience on the part of Zacharias and Elizabeth. Call his name John. Now, the reason they called his name John is because that's what the Lord told them to name him. Not Zacharias, not obedience. Can you imagine? You think, well, that's just a name. Faithful in little things. It must be. Little things. That was not a little thing. All the pressure from the others that says, "Well, there's nobody in your family named that. Well, name him after his daddy. His daddy's a priest. His name is John. There's nobody in that lineage. His name is John." Obedience. But look at the faithfulness of Almighty God. The faithfulness for God to send one who would be the forerunner, the witness, the announcer. A lot of folks considered John the Baptist to be the Christ. Turn over to Matthew 3:11. Matthew 3:11. You know, man by nature, boy, he loves for people to pat him on the back and say great swelling words about him. Whenever Almighty God gives a man or woman a new heart, they long after one. That old nature is still there, believe me, that wants glory and honor heaped on them. But that new nature, there's a holy nature that is imparted. There's a new nature that the Scripture reveals sins not. That's the great discrepancy right now with many people. They don't believe that there is within a believer a new nature that doesn't sin. That which is born of God sinneth not. They said, "Now how can that be?" It's because God says it is. Now there's an old nature that, believe me, there is, Paul says, in me, that is in my flesh, in that old man, no good thing. It does nothing but sin. So you got two opposing natures. There is a nature that is born of God that doesn't sin. That new nature longs after, loves, hungers, thirsts after Christ. People were looking at John the Baptist as being the Christ. In Matthew 3:11, here's what John says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." A man, a woman that God has called out of darkness, they want Christ to be honored, magnified, set forth. Back in John 1, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Notice this, that John the Baptist is a man. There was a man sent from God. The Word was God made flesh. John was a man. God Himself was truly made flesh. But you realize who was made flesh. John was sent from God, just like all God's preachers are. Verse 7 says, "The same," that is, John, "came for a witness. The Lord is pleased to speak by those who testify what they know by experience." He's a witness. John the Baptist was the one that prophesied concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Malachi, let me just read this to you. Malachi 3:1, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom you seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." So God Almighty gave John the Baptist a mission, and he gave him a message. Set forth him who comes. The one that the Lord taught him, he said, You're not worthy to tie his shoelaces. John knew it. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Of all that was born of women, there's not a greater than John the Baptist." The Lord said that. What do? We bow to it. John said of himself, "I'm not worthy to tie his shoes." God Almighty is going to make a man see something of himself. What the Lord says concerning a man, concerning a woman, we bow to that in amazement. "Lord, can it be that you've made one such as I in you?" To stand before Almighty God in a perfect substitute, and that which you say concerning me, "Lord, in me, I see no good thing. Lord, help me." He came, the Scripture says, verse 7, to bear witness of the light. About 400 years had passed since God had sent a witness. You know, I thought about that. What a marvel that we are able to meet. We talk about being able to come and sit and listen and hear. That Almighty God would allow us week after week after week to come and to hear. From Malachi until John the Baptist, just historically, just, you know, when they lived, there was no witness. God didn't send a prophet. 400 years. And oh, how the the priesthood had deteriorated, and just if you want to see the evidence of it, while we go through this book, remember this statement. Look at what the priesthood, the high priest, look at how they act toward Christ. God didn't send a prophet for almost 400 years. Oh, how desperately do we need to sit and hear the gospel. Hear the Word of God. Listening to the means of His grace, the preaching of Christ. He came to bear witness of the light. You know, I said this last week. Light bears witness of itself in every area except right here. You remember I told you, you walk into a dark room, turn on the flashlight, immediately the darkness bows to it. Light. Darkness can't stop light. In every instance except you find a hard, cold, dead heart. I can remember talking to folks when the Lord began to deal with me concerning the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. In my mind, I thought, you know, surely there are some scriptures that you just, that people are just going to hear. They're just going to, and they're going to bow to them. Surely. One scripture that just means so much to me, concerning God's sovereignty, God's grace, God, 2 Thessalonians 2:13. We're bound to give thanks to you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, being set apart by the Holy Spirit of God and belief of the truth. God's chosen you and set you apart, given your heart. We're thankful for you. God Almighty sovereignly did that. Man by nature looks at that and just, I don't believe that. He came as a witness to bear witness of the light. This is God's way. This is the means. What we're doing right here, this is the means of God's grace in calling out God's people. Preaching. What else do we do except set forth the Word of God? It's not, there's no other means. There's nothing else. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 1:21. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That means that the world that considers preaching foolish, that's what God's pleased to use. Surely we can have another way. Surely we can, you know, we can do this thing. I mean, there's got to be some gimmicks. There's got to be some methods. Surely there's got, we can have something. We can have bake sales, and we can get kids, and we can. Surely we can preaching. And where you find that Almighty God is pleased to raise up a preacher and bless him and bless a church, there's where you find the blessing of Almighty God. As I've said before, Katy Baptist Church, the little bit that I know, this is a miracle of God's grace that this church is still here. Gary, you told me something the other day that I've thought a lot about. Gary told me that Brother Henry Mahan said years ago, he said, there's coming a time when you'll drive by this. I don't know how long it is. Is this what he said? There's coming a time when you'll drive by this and say, I remember. There used to be a faithful witness of truth. I thought, well, that we're here today is by a miracle of God's grace. What if the Lord does remove it? And He's going to remove it. But we've got today, and that's all we've got. We don't know if there's going to be a Wednesday. I don't know if there's going to be another Sunday. John the Baptist was sent of God to bear witness of the light. May Almighty God help us today to be faithful to that calling, to bear witness of Christ. John the Baptist, like the character of all God's preachers, was a witness. I heard Brother Scott say this, one who knows what he says and says what he knows. God's preachers are convinced that salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is all of grace. Salvation is by the power of Almighty God, a witness. This is what God has to say concerning Himself. God chooses, God redeems, God quickens, God keeps. He's a witness. And there's no glory in man. He came to bear witness of the light that all men through Him might believe. Boy, now there's one verse of Scripture that an Arminian would love to just get a hold of and just rest. W-R-E-S-T. Twist it. You see, there's right there. There you go. All men through Him might believe. Well, I know this. First of all, I looked up the word all. It means any or every. Any or every. But I do know this, that all are particular. All men given Him in electing grace, I know that. I had somebody tell me one time, they said, you know what you do? They said, I've noticed what you do. They said, you take every scripture that sets forth that salvation is an offer, is an open. They said, you take every scripture that sets forth salvation to be an offer given by God that anybody that we, you try to take that and you always try to twist it to make it come back to electing grace. I said, the reason I do that is because I know this, that Almighty God has set forth that salvation is all of grace. It is by the electing grace of God. And you have to look at every scripture in light of revealed truth that you know is so. You take John 6:37. It says, all. And if you want to remove or try to remove that the Father giveth me, and read it like this, all shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. You can't do that. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. All is particular. All that believeth shall be saved. All that come shall be saved. John 17:2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. So all, in this passage of Scripture, that all men, well, men is in italics, that all through him might believe. All kinds, all nations, all tribes, all tongues, but all chosen in him. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And only those given him shall come to him. He will in no wise cast out. Verse 8, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. John was not the source of the light. The word light there means the luminousness. He was not the luminousness himself. John was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. Now, our Lord said concerning John the Baptist, now listen to this scripture, I'll just read it to you. If you want to turn, it's John 5:35. Speaking of John, the Lord said, he was a burning and shining light. Now this scripture here says, verse 8, he was not that light. John was a burning and shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Now the first word, light, he was a burning and shining light. There's two different words in that scripture. Now, we would do well to read those words and make sure we understand. See, there's the problem, is that a lot of times we just don't understand what the word means. He was a burning and shining light. That first word, light, there means lamp. A lamp that needs something to be supplied. And without that something to be supplied, there's no light there. John was a lamp. That's what the Lord said. Every believer is a lamp. You're the light of the world. Well, now you know that we're not the capital L here. When it says he was not that light, ye are the light of the world. What does that mean? You're the lamp. There's no light within you that emanates and starts with you. You're not the source of it. Light? A lamp? Yeah. You take a coal oil lamp. What do? You put oil in it. And it burns. But that light, that lamp, that piece of glass, that light didn't start with that lamp. It had to have oil. When the oil is gone, the light's gone. Not with him. He's the light. John was not that light. John was a burning and shining lamp. And ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Now that light there means the luminousness. John was a lamp that bore witness of the light itself, the true light. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And verse 9 in closing, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That was that truthful light. That was, when it says that was the true light, he was the truthful light. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is the undeceiving light. Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 11:14, that Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. But do you know why he does that? To deceive. to deceive. There is nothing that is more evident of deception than religious deception. The heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. There's no liar like the human heart. Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. And oh, the deception that is in this world. Religious deception. Under the guise of light. Lie to men, lie to women, and tell them that they're okay. And it all comes back to man's works and man's ability and man's glory. The gospel is the only message that glorifies God. And it does so in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is wrong with giving God all the glory? What's wrong with that? The world hates it. The world hates. That was the true light, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I dealt with this last week, but I'm just going to make a quick statement about it so we'll understand and remember. That was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And that does mean every man. Jew and Gentile, bond and free, male and female. Every person is born in this world with a conscience. The Lord Jesus Christ has set forth by His Spirit that every man comes into this world with some light. The light of right and wrong. And you know what's right and wrong. Remember when we looked at that scripture, if the light that is in you, and obviously there is light that's in someone, or He would not have said that. If the light that's in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Men and women are sitting and listening to a message that declares that they are walking in light. If the light that they're walking in, the Lord has revealed, is darkness, if it gives no glory, no honor, no praise, no consistency to the gospel of God's grace, then it's darkness. If the light that is in thee is darkness, how great is that darkness? But in light of what we do know concerning God's sovereign will and particular redemption, irresistible calling, all that the Father has everlastingly loved and given to Christ, it isn't that a wonderful message? I mean, you know, when we talk about sovereign grace, it just, to a believer, their heart rejoices when they speak of His honor, His choice, His goodness. Isn't it wonderful to know that Almighty God that has chosen to show mercy to His people, that He keeps them, that He keeps them, that we're not kept by ourselves. How could we? But you see, only a believer understands that. Only a believer knows that he can't keep himself. Only a believer is taught of their need of Christ. All that are enlightened by the grace and power of Almighty God, all that God Almighty has commanded the light to shine in their hearts to give the knowledge of the glory of God in Christ. To them, God has taught them something of themselves. A new nature is imparted. All men's got some light. All men are born with a conscience. I guarantee you, I've made mention before, down in Mexico, we'd go down and go to those Mayan temples. And don't tell me that those people didn't have a conscience. They knew. They would have sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. They would take captured warriors. They'll take maidens. They'll take them. They knew that God, their God, was offended. They knew that. Well, if they knew that their God was offended, they knew that they had offended their God. And they were trying to appease their God. Whatever that God was, sun God, rain God, whatever God, he was angry. The God that kept down the crops, they got to. And what they're going to do is they're going to appease their God. And the heart was the issue. That still amazes me. Brother Cody would say they'd go and they'd cut the heart out. They'd take the heart. The blood. Blood had to be spilt. And there was sacrifice and sacrifice, and it never ended, never ended. Man's got a conscience. But when Almighty God gives a man a new heart, he realizes there's one that has put away my guilt. By His precious blood, He was made what I am. And He put away before God Almighty that which the law had me bound by. And He saved me by His grace, and He keeps me by His power. That's what John bore witness to. He bore witness to the light. May the Lord add His blessings and teach us and keep us for Christ's sake. Amen. Let's take about a 10-minute break.